This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
And what a week it was. The Golden State Warriors started things, getting embarrassed by that of the Boston Celtics out in Beantown, which anytime the Warriors come to town, you know, Boston,
they're ready.
There's an asterisk next to that game. You know, it's still very much fresh on the minds of the Boston Celtics, what happened to the NBA Finals a couple of years ago. And they took care of business. They embarrassed Golden State. The Warriors then bounced back against another power out of the East, that being the Milwaukee Bucks, with a 35-point win. And then, well, then Thursday happened. The inexplicable loss to that of the Chicago Bulls. Yeah, really quick, just to get back to the Boston Celtics. You know, they went head-to-head because just to show you how you know, they won that game by more than 50. They've beaten four teams this year, I believe, by more than 50 points. Jeez. But it's just one game, right?
Right.
And just to sort of like, just when you were about to anoint them as this juggernaut, the Boston Celtics, did you see the week that they had?
I did not know.
They blow a 22-point lead to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then they go head up with the Denver Nuggets, which is thought to be sort of
NBA Finals preview.
The preview of the two best teams, the Nuggets and the Boston Celtics. Like that is the NBA Finals as we know it this year. And you know, they blow a game. They didn't blow a game, but they weren't very good down the stretch. And when you think about, you know, sort of the mental hurdles and the mental gymnastics that Jason Tatum and the core of that team, the Jaylen Browns of the world and the Horfords, are still trying to get that proverbial monkey off the back that they can be a team that does well in the postseason. While they dominate in the regular season, and they did what it is they did to the Golden State Warriors, they still haven't done a damn thing when it comes to being that team and winning an NBA championship. I don't.
Neither do I.
And the reason being is I don't buy into Jason Tatum, and he can prove me wrong. He'll get another opportunity this year.
Young guy.
But you've got to prove to me that you're... See, here's the difference. Listen up, young fella. I love putting on my avuncular hat and teaching the youngster. And Ken, you're a young kid as well. Sit around, kids.
My 27-year-old self.
Is that, you know, there's the players in the NBA that can do it during the regular season. But then when it comes, obviously, to crunch time, to join that elite, rarefied group of Steph Curry, LeBron James, even Giannis, who is now 1-1, Jokic. If you want to be regarded as one of the best, it does not matter what it is that you... It does matter to a certain degree what you do during the regular season. But it's crunch time, and it's crunch time during the biggest games of the postseason and breaking through that you put people on your back. That's when you get anointed and you get the proverbial stamp, okay, welcome to the club. He has yet to do that, and I'm not so sure that he can. But obviously another opportunity to prove it this year.
Would you put Tatum in the same category as Jimmy Butler or like a Dame Lillard? A guy who is really good and can carry a franchise to the playoffs and in big moments can show up, but ultimately is not going to be the reason as to why you win in a seven-game series against, you know, a team in the conference finals or the NBA Finals.
The only difference being is that I think Jason Tatum, certainly when it comes to Jimmy Butler, I think always overachieves.
Okay.
I don't think that Jimmy Butler has the sort of pieces to play with like that of a Jason Tatum.
I agree.
Jason Tatum, they basically said, okay, who do you want this year to get over the hump? They went and got Porzingis.
They went a wide-open Jaylen Brown against the Warriors is what they want.
And they got and they get Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
They've got every base covered.
Okay.
Like, that is a legitimate team. You know, Milwaukee and Dame Lillard don't have that. And Jimmy Butler is always sort of overachieving with teams that he's with, because I'm a big Jimmy Butler fan. Jason Tatum has it all. So there are no excuses at this point. It's just now, are you that dude?
Okay.
Like, are you one of those guys that can put a team on its back and forget about, like, we got so many stars. I heard him say this after a game in which he lost to the Denver Nuggets going straight up with Jokic and company. He said, I don't want to hijack the game. We have too many stars on this team. I don't need to suddenly take over. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, that's,
hijack the damn game.
You are the star of the, like, yeah, you're Stephen Curry, by all intents and purposes, has had stars around him, the betterment or the better half of his career. If someone's going to take over the game, it is Stephen Curry. Kobe Bryant had Shaq and others, Pau Gasol, Ron Artest, and other players around him that, yeah, were good star, all-star players, but Kobe Bryant took over the team. Mamba mentality is a thing for a reason. I think to your point, what you're saying is that Jason Tatum can certainly show he has the Mamba mentality, but as of now, he just doesn't have that killer in him.
Steph Curry has hijacked so many games, he may as well be a terrorist at this point.
He's still doing it. He's still doing it.
All right, phone lines open now at 888-957-9570. Join the conversation. We started with Tony B, hanging out in San Francisco, California. Tony B, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning. You guys bringing the energy this morning. I appreciate it. So what I got this morning is the Golden State Warriors this year are just an emotional roller coaster. And I was feeling really, really high that after that win in Milwaukee against Milwaukee. And then I was feeling the doom and gloom yesterday. And you guys are bringing me back up a couple degrees now that I guess maybe there's a chance that Steph's not going to be out for so long. So I'm feeling that. I'm feeling good. I think these young guys, especially Moses Moody, I mean, to me, there's no question. Moses Moody is the man over Wiggins. And I hate to say this, but I think he's even got something on Clay right now in terms of his energy and what he brings to the game. He reminds me of Looney a couple years ago. Just gets in there and does his job, doesn't talk a whole lot, and just plays basketball. So, great show. Appreciate hearing you guys on Saturday morning, and looking forward to the playoffs.
Thanks, Tony B. There's a truck that's about to back up and run over.
Watch out!
But Tony B makes a really good point.
Over Clay, though?
Moses Moody?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he means getting minutes. Well, maybe he does. Yeah, I mean, no, he's...
See, the way I took it was more than Wiggins, more than Clay. And Clay has these spurts still, like we talked about earlier, that he will assert himself into a game.
So was Tony B saying...
It's like the way they play.
Okay.
Is that, like, Wiggins will not assert himself sometimes, where you will not know he's on the court. Moody, he will assert himself. He'll make his presence known and felt. That's how I took the call. Was that okay? Like, yeah, minutes-wise, maybe even play-wise, Moody isn't better than Clay or Wiggins, but I do think asserting themselves on the court, having that presence, that's where Moody, I think, sets himself apart from guys like Clay and Wiggins currently.
I always feel like somehow we're giving Clay Thompson a bad rap.
I do agree with that, yeah.
And I think Clay Thompson has really, really embraced and over-exceeded expectations in his new role coming off the bench.
He could have easily said, I'm not doing that. And I think there'd be a portion of the fan base that would say, yeah, it's Klay Thompson. This guy's won 4 NBA titles. You have not won without him. And then Klay said, no, I'm good. I'm starting. I don't want to do that. I think there would have been a handful of people that said, yeah, like, that makes sense. But Klay's like, no, like, I'm a team player. I get it. I'm on the, you know, I'm going towards the end of my career. I can see the sun setting in the future. I know it's going to end eventually. Maybe in 2 years, once Steph and Dre and Curry's contracts are all up. But good. I think Clay deserves a lot of credit as to embracing that sixth, seventh man role.
Well, I don't know that he had necessarily a choice in the matter.
Probably not, but...
Yeah, no, you're right.
He could have been fickle towards it.
Right. You know, He could have come off the bench and had an attitude issue.
Right.
Like, he could have been, I hate mentioning this name, but it could have been Jordan Poole-esque in a weird way and create that bad mojo.
Go Kelly Oubre, who was here in Golden State. He didn't want to be on the bench.
Exactly. Good point. Good pull. But I think Clay also deserves credit because as much as we talk about, well, we don't want you hunting shots, like that is, he always gets, you know, a lot of heat for that. And that's not what he's been doing, though. To his credit, he has looked to make the late pass. I think the pick and roll with him and Trayce Jackson-Davis, I think he really is the one who sort of unlocked Trayce Jackson-Davis even before Chris Paul, because Chris Paul was hurt. In terms of that pick and roll, it was Klay Thompson that was looking for him.
Yeah.
And was finding him, and they clearly developed a rapport. Who would have thought that those two on the same page and becoming a lethal combination? But that's clearly what's taking place. I think he's played within the design and the flow of the offense. I think that he's shooting threes that, you know, that present themselves. He's not, quote unquote, just looking for his shots or trying to be Klay of 37 points in a quarter. He does, however, and I do have an issue with this. Man.
Let me know.
It's the heat check. Like, I think that phrase has got to be eradicated. If I'm a head coach, and it's not just relegated to Klay Thompson, but I am going to use him as an example. The idea of a heat check, in other words, you're saying you're a selfish basketball player. It's like one of the stupidest things that I think has just been accepted into the lexicon of NBA basketball. Well, it's okay. It's a heat check. It is never okay to shoot a basketball with three guys draped on you off of 1 foot leaning to your left, and then you clank the thing and it leads to a run out and a bucket the other way. That's just selfish, ignorant basketball.
It's a turnover at that point.
And for whatever reason, well, it's a heat check. You can still be, you know, you can still be in a... I understand it, that when a guy's got it going, you want to ride it, but you can still be a little bit judicious in the shots that you're taking. This idea, and Klay Thompson is the worst offender of this, I've hit my last three and I'm Klay Thompson, I'm game six Klay Thompson, remember that? That now I've got... You know, I have the luxury of shooting from anywhere, anytime, regardless of whether we're trailing or when. Forget about the context of the game.
He'd be at Fisherman's Wharf jacking up threes if he could.
It's a heat check. Yeah. I've hit my last three. I get this. And
right.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's almost as though Steve Kerr and other coaches are like, well, it's a heat check. Well, what?
Then it's off back iron.
Like, it's just this. No, that's not an excuse. A bad shot is a bad shot.
Yeah.
And I understand you want to ride a guy's high. I totally get being in that flow. Man, I played this game you know, like at the YMCA level and you know, down at Moscone Park and getting run at the Panhandle. I know what it's like to feel it, but I'm just saying that doesn't allow you to go where it is that the likes of a Klay Thompson want to take it. And you can almost, I guarantee you, you can set your watch to it. It is going to happen as sure as the sun coming up in the morning, that if he's in one of those flows, that he now is, he's going to get it and jack it no matter where the hell he is on the floor.
You let Klay jack it, right?
Thank you. Our shout out to the 510. We do see you. Klay is now jacking it. But no, you feel me, Sterling?
It's no, just, I do.
The heat check, I don't know. You don't necessarily have to agree with me, but the idea of like, well, it's a heat check, it's understandable.
Well,
like, you know, that being just understood and part of the fabric of the game is something that I have a hard time with.
Well, take Mickey D on the first NorCal Credit Union YouTube chat. They're up by 13 against Chicago. What do they start doing? Jacking up threes. It's like, instead of allowing teams like the Bulls or others in the past to narrow that lead down, make your lead tighter and tighter and tighter, and put themselves in a position to get back in the game, you can stay hot within the offense. You don't have to jack up, you know, say you make three threes in a row, you're feeling good about yourself, you can stay within the offense and guess what? Continue to be the hot player on the court. Like, Stephen Curry might be... Well, him having a heat check three from the logo is more excusable than Klay Thompson has been this year, but even Steph, I do think, albeit has had his heat check threes, would also say, hey, if Kevon Looney's open in the paint, if I'm not the open man, I'll pass it along because I know, guess what, I can either get myself a better shot later. How many times do you see Steph double covered, passes it off, and finds his shot off a screen elsewhere on the exact same possession? Happens all the time. Klay's not doing that. I think that right there is what kills Golden State at times. You're up 13. You can extend your lead still. You can still be the hot player on the court, but play within the offense.
I wanted to switch gears and talk about the return of Bob Myers.
Okay.
Coming back to Chase. He came back as a color analyst for the broadcast, which was nationally televised on ESPN with Mike Breen as the play-by-play voice. And first of all, Bob Myers did a really good job.
Yeah.
Did you listen to the game or watch the game?
Well, I was here.
You were here, so yeah, I can tell you he was, and I'm overly critical on these sort of things, and he was very conversational, easy to listen to. And just, you know, picked his spots. And obviously, he's a bit of a homer. If I'm a Milwaukee Buck fan, I'm like, yeah, he's just seeing this through the lens of a Golden State Warrior. And why not? He was the GM up until a year ago and a good one. Or was he? I'm seeing a lot on the chat line here. But I still think it's a little awkward for him to come back and have to talk about that was Trayce Jackson-Davis's big game. Might have been his best game. As well as Pajemski played well in that contest, and to talk about these two players that, and I know they sort of joked about it, but would he have drafted those guys? I'll answer that for you. Hell no.
No.
He's not drafting Trayce Jackson-Davis and Pajemski. I think it's bittersweet. Obviously, he comes home, and you got to like Bob Myers because he's got a sense of humor and he reads the room, but I still think that there is a awkward sort of, like, your replacement. Mike Dunleavy just found two guys, and I mean two dudes that were buried in that draft that have really saved the season for the Golden State Warriors in a lot of ways.
Well, also, they had the nice video package for him. He gets cheered, but did you hear what he said about Draymond, either before or after?
No.
I think it was after Draymond got a tech or whatever, and he said, like, well, I don't have to talk to him, so I'm pretty happy about that after the game. And, like, he's obviously being lighthearted about it, but some fans didn't like that of, like, oh, like, like, are you taking a shot at Draymond? I didn't see it that way, but it's like, yeah, like, that does wear on you. But I think for Bob coming back to Golden State, I'm sure there is a sense of, like, I wish I didn't have to leave, or you know, not that there's unfinished business, but I'm sure it's like, well, you go to your former employer, and you're like, I don't want to be back here sometimes. Like, people don't want to go to the job they currently have. Like, why would you want to go back to your previous job if things, well, didn't end not well, just didn't end how you wanted them to? Like, for Bob Myers at ESPN, like, he has to sometimes talk negatively towards his former team, who he loves. Like, that can put someone in an uncomfortable position. And I do think Bob, being the businessman he is, doesn't like being put in that position. And so to be on ESPN and be like, oh, there's two guys in Trayce and Brandon that I didn't draft, probably wouldn't have picked playing well, then Draymond's out here getting texts, like, it does kind of make you feel a little like, this is an awkward place for me to be in right now.
Well, I don't know if it's, I think that having to talk about Trayce Jackson-Davis and Pajemski specifically is a little bit maybe sort of, I wouldn't even say uncomfortable. It's sort of obvious that when he's like, wow, this Trayce Jackson-Davis is a hell of a player, I sure as hell wouldn't have drafted him.
Right.
I think that writing sort of on the wall, I don't think anything else is really uncomfortable. I think he loves the Bay Area. I think he genuinely, I used to see the dude during the pandemic. We used to run the same steps out in Pacific Heights. I mean, I think he's a San Francisco guy. He got the Bay Area, and I think that the bond between him and Steve Kerr is legitimate. Like,
yeah,
I think that's a true friendship. And I think he genuinely, you know, appreciates the area and loves what it is that he built. I'm just saying that, you know, when as a broadcaster, and maybe it was true to a certain degree when Mark Jackson had to get in front of a mic and talk about the Golden State Warriors that suddenly were this team that, you know, were very, very good. It's similar in that, you know, I now have to talk about this team, and I'm talking about Pajemski, and I'm talking about Trayce Jackson-Davis, and these are two guys that were drafted by my successor, and I'm the guy that drafted James Weissman.
Right. Do you think he still wears that shame a little bit?
Oh, he has to.
Yeah. I figured. Yeah.
You could not.
And probably Jordan Poole to a degree, right? Like, he was there when everything went down with them, and I'm not bringing it up to bring it up.
He signed the extension with Jordan
Poole. Exactly, that's what I mean. And then now he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the James Weissman miss, I've always sort of maintained this, is that when you have this rare opportunity to pick in the lottery as frequently as they did over those 2 years, and you still have a Hall of Fame core, and they're still at the time in their sort of early 30s, like you have this rare chance, because everybody talks about, oh, show me a dynasty where it ended well. It never does. It never does. Well, you have this one opportunity, I believe, to abridge and sort of keep that train going down the track. Mm-hmm. If you hit on these guys, like if you got the number two in the lottery right, like, and then, you know, you hit on Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga, you have that chance now to be one of those teams. Maybe the San Antonio Spurs when Kawhi Leonard sort of stepped in there. Like, it doesn't happen, but you had this rare opportunity to have that torch being passed down. But missing on James Wiseman, I think, really set this team back. You know, how often are they going to get a number two pick in the lottery?
To take it back to football, just like it's like when San Francisco had a lost season in 2018. What happened in 2019 when Nick Bosa is sitting there for him? You can't afford to miss when you get up in the top five, top two, like the Niners did and the Warriors did. You are not going to find yourself in that position rarely ever again, if ever again, with Steph and Clay and Draymond. And so, yes, missing on Wiseman certainly stunk when he got a couple second-round picks for him back. But I do think for Bob, and maybe he doesn't feel this way, but I'm sure there is a sense of like, man, like what could have been had I hit on that pick? Had it not been James Wiseman? I know certain people want, you know, LaMelo Ball. That probably wouldn't fit either. But like, had you just made that the right pick, whoever it would have been.
Yeah, and see, when you see what it is that Dunleavy did.
Yeah.
And again, we're not coming down. Let me just backtrack. This isn't, you know, we're not trashing Bob Myers.
We love Bob Myers.
Let's just put this preface by saying that when it comes to the NBA draft, especially the lottery, man, even the number one pick or the number two pick, you're rolling the dice.
It's really a crapshoot.
You calculate your risk, but it's a risk nevertheless. But when you think about some of those guys that went later that are now impact players that were on the board, I don't know, man. I'm thinking that Dunleavy might have pulled the trigger on Halliburton. That Dunleavy might have seen something in Alperen Şengün. He might have been that guy. You know, because if he can pick Pajemski out of the boys' choir,
right,
and he can find somebody like Trayce Jackson-Davis in the second round, who's to say that
Halliburton gets picked for you, maybe?
I mean,
who knows?
So, yeah.
But talking about, you know, Bob's misses and his tenure later in Golden State, like, Mike Dunleavy, for all the heat he got during his first offseason here, it's a trade Jordan Poole and a lot of maneuvering, going, getting Chris Paul. Fans did not like that at first. But I think now, six months into the season, I think Warrior fans are like, Mike Dunleavy's done a hell of a job here for the Warriors, finding kind of diamonds in the rough, you know, going, getting Chris Paul. And going back to Stephen Curry for a second, Chris Paul was going to be a massive factor depending on how long Steph Curry's out. Like, you can go to Jordan Poole, and when Jordan Poole was here, he can give you 22 a night. He'd also give you 10 turnovers and blow you a game late because he wasn't playing smart. Chris Paul might give you 6-8 a night. He won't turn the ball over. He'll facilitate for the other guys. He'll let Clay jack it up whenever he wants to within the means of the offense. And he'll help facilitate for Trayce Jackson-Davis and Kuminga and Moody and others in the offense as well. But, like, smart getting Chris Paul, knowing, hey, Curry's going to get hurt eventually. We have to have a guy that's smart, can play savvy, veteran guy, almost 40 years old, mind you, but can still get it done in the NBA and not turn the ball over. That is Chris Paul. That's Mike Dunleavy's job there. Going and getting Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis. In a way, albeit I don't think it was the plan for the long view, they did, in a way, set themselves up for a short stint without Stephen Curry.
Speaking of Stephen Curry, when we come back here on 95.7 The Game and Warriors this week, we want to detail the injury. Our man Sterling Bennett will update you on what's happened and when you can expect him back. And also, let's talk about the ankle injury going forward and how it's plagued this young man throughout his entire career and going back in the day when it didn't look like this career would ever get off the ground. We'll talk Steph Curry. We'll talk about the Warriors without their stars. They take on the San Antonio Spurs beginning tonight in the home and home. Tonight is out at Chase. Sterling Bennett, Dan Avone, producer Ken, back with much more on Warriors this week after this quick timeout.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
This week on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors this week, Dan Avone and Sterling Bennett. My man, the producer, Kenny from Queens.
What'd you call him last week? Not Kenny.
He introduced himself as James, and so I rolled with it.
Not true.
Kenny, of course, rocking the New York Mets. Kenny from Queens, rocking what else? A New York Mets. How are your Mets going to be this year, man? Come on, just and be within reason.
I mean, they have a chance. We'll see how far it goes. It's all about staying healthy. It's the most generic answer, but who knows with this team? Because it could all fall apart by May. We have no idea. We already got our Cy Young pitcher, who was voted for a Cy Young last year. Senga is out. He's going to be out till probably June, so we don't know.
So it's over.
Pretty much.
Season's over.
I'll tell you what, though, and I was talking to Kenny from Queens about this before the show.
You mean James, right? James?
Yeah. Are you okay with Kenny from Queens? I don't know where that came from. But he's actually from Jersey.
Yes, sir.
My old man's from Jersey, so we got a connection there.
Nice.
Oofa, Jersey. Hey.
Where in Jersey, real quick?
Well, outside of Montclair, but my old man grew up down neck from Newark, New Jersey, so he's
all right. Oh, yeah, I'm right across the bay there.
Yeah, Bayonne, exactly. Wow. So, but, you know, as you get older, you make a little money, you get the hell out of Newark, I think was the story. Right. But their owner spends money, man. That's all you want is someone like Cone, yeah. Just to like, dude, you know.
He will give that fan base whatever they want.
Yeah, and so is Joe Lacob. How's that for the segue of the week, ladies and gentlemen?
What a segue.
We're talking about Steph Curry and the latest ankle injury. Before we get any further, why don't you just update people who are just tuning in to the latest concerning Steph Curry and the bad wheel.
Yes, Steph Curry suffered an ankle injury, had an MRI yesterday, according to Shams and Woj. He's only expected to miss, hopefully, 1 to 4 games. 5 is pushing it, maybe a week and a half of time, but it's not a serious injury. The MRI came back clean. Steph Curry not going to play today, tonight against the San Antonio Spurs, questionable for Monday against San Antonio, which I would like to assume, my own thoughts, Wednesday and next Saturday, much more attainable for Curry.
Now, obviously, this is nothing new to Steph Curry and certainly Dub Nation when you're talking about the ankle injuries.
Like the first, 6 years of his career.
Remember
were
that?
Just ankle injuries.
I just looked this up. He missed the first game of his professional career.
Wow.
With the Golden State Warriors due to a left ankle sprain. Then underwent ankle surgery after being sidelined for 8 games throughout the year. At one point in his second season, Curry sprained his ankle twice in 7 days, and this was just sort of the ongoing issue with him in a career that a lot of people felt as though he was the next Bill Walton, that it was going to be one of those careers that never got off the ground. It was going to be one of those what could have been.
Well, there were talks of trade Curry, not Monte, because Curry can never stay healthy.
And, of course, as a result, he signed that contract, which was highway robbery. But the one, you know, I was reading, I think it was Brian Windhorst who wrote this. Did
I
you
can't
know
stand that guy?
That, really?
Yeah.
Windy?
Yeah, I can't stand
that. What's wrong with Brian Windhorst?
So if you have followed his career, he just follows LeBron everywhere he goes. He was in Cleveland. He was in Miami. Now he's in L.A. That guy, if you talk about riding the coattails of one of the greatest superstars ever, Brian Windhorst is public enemy number one in that category. He is LeBron James's personal journalist. It's insane.
But he's good, though. He has good insight.
I'm not saying his work isn't good. I'm just saying, talk about you want to follow a star wherever he goes. He has followed LeBron James everywhere.
Oh, interesting. But Windhorst was talking about when Steph Curry puts on his sneaker, he has a moon boot that he plays every single game on both feet because of the injuries early on in his career to the ankles.
What's a moon boot?
It's this sort of...
Because I think of moon shoes, where like you jump and they kick you up, like those like old 90s kids toys.
Yeah, so it's this, I guess it's this wrap. It's almost sort of a much smaller version of a support that's almost a shoe that sort of goes up the ankle, so therefore it's considered a boot.
Okay.
And he has to slide that on, and so he has custom-made shoes.
I see him.
They're custom-made shoes so that they can fit around this apparatus or this boot, if you will. It's almost similar to, like, you're a football guy. You know how offensive linemen wear knee braces?
Yeah.
Just as a protective measure, whether they have knee injuries or not, just to, you know, because guys are always falling into them.
Precaution.
So just a reminder of how this guy's career, where it started, and how it continues to rear its ugly head. Just the other night, where he twists that ankle, and
it looked really bad.
It looked bad, but could that be attributed to, again, he's playing too many minutes, that he's playing too much, that if you don't have fresh legs, are you susceptible to an injury like that?
He didn't play half the Boston game.
True, but
and he blew out Milwaukee.
But when you just think about the load that this guy, where he hasn't had...
In totality, on pace for 79 games. Like
exactly. He hasn't played 70 more games going back to the 2017 season. So the amount of minutes on a guy, again, it's not Jokic, it's not Embiid. You're talking about a dude who relies on his wheels, right?
Yeah.
Like every time he shoots a three, he's sidestepping, he's crossing over, he's using his handle, he gets to the rim. Like there's a lot of wear and tear.
How many scratches and bruises do you see him after a game? And you're like, how is this guy not getting calls? So again, to your point, he's kind of a smaller guy. He's a point guard. And he's going up against bigger body forwards and centers and running through him every single night.
And I think the bigger point in all of this becomes that he's now getting an inadvertent, once again, couple of days off, couple of games off, maybe a week, potentially maybe 10 days. And that is a good thing for Warrior fans. Although typically, because again, you could set your watch to this, that Steph Curry suffering an injury is something that has happened over the last 5 years. I remember he broke the wrist.
Yeah, yep.
He had, I believe, a hip injury when he fell out.
Was it Memphis? When he fell and hit his hip on that weird
hump? Houston or Memphis? Yeah, one of those.
It was a weird, shouldn't have happened injury.
And so, again, you know, every single year he's missing time, but towards the end of the campaign, he's had those fresh legs. Well, we're getting towards the end of the campaign, and the injury is sort of untimely this year in that it's so late in the campaign, so you'd like to get him back. I just wanted to go here for a second because this just made, you know, news the other day. That when you think about guys like Steph Curry, who certainly got paid and is getting paid and deserves every single penny, if not more, in terms of his brand and merchandising, and what does he mean for a franchise like that of the Golden State Warriors? I think you can't even quantify how much money this guy means to a team.
Yeah.
But this guy, much like that of the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, who had that incredible block that we were talking about, that you know, he was in and out of that game because of an ankle injury. Guys that just play through pain and recognize that, you know, pain is part of it. You got to play through it. Where am I going with this? Well, just guess who got shut down this year and will not be coming back to the Brooklyn Nets?
Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons will be unavailable to the Brooklyn Nets this year. And I just say that to, once again, highlight the fact that there are some guys, and Ben Simmons is almost a blessing because it helps us recognize every now and then there's a Jamarcus Russell, there's a Ryan Leaf, there's a Ben Simmons, although he's not necessarily a bust because he did have big years in Philadelphia. But it just reminds us.
Could you imagine had Golden State actually acquired him? That was a conversation for a lot of time.
Thank you. Like, how many calls did we take back in the day?
You got to get Ben Simmons, man. You have to acquire Simmons. He will carry this team into the future. Yikes.
That and Bradley Beal. Trade out the team for Bradley Beal. But it just goes to show you that there are some that just don't want to play and would rather get paid.
Yeah.
And then there are the Steph Currys of the world. And I say Anthony Edwards because I happen to be watching that game where he went out like, oh my God, this dude is done for, you know, a while. And then he came back limping onto the floor and then had that remarkable block. There are some guys that just, they play basketball or sports at that very fundamental level. Just like you and I, when we were playing down in the schoolyard, when you're kids, you just want to beat the hell out of the guy guarding you, or you just want to win. Like, it feeds a competitive nature. Yes, the money's great, But it's all sort of...
That's not the reason why you play.
No.
It's a reason, but the reason why you get into sports is because you're a competitor. And I want to beat you, Dan. You want to beat me. Ben Simmons don't want to beat nobody. Nobody. Steph Curry wants to win championships. Ben Simmons wants to cash checks. And that's fine. You can be that way if you're the 10th guy off the bench, or Juwan Howard getting carried by the Heat and LeBron James. That's fine. Not when you're a star player getting paid $50 million a year.
Oh, he's a crime, man. He's an absolute crime. But
just imagine him in Golden State, man. Talk about one of the worst moves Bob Myers could have made. Forget Wiseman. Like, Ben Simmons would have been that move.
Just to digress for a moment, because we were talking about this at the break. Speaking of trades and worst trades ever, is the Russell Wilson trade the worst ever in the NFL?
Man, I mean, so what? He got 2 years there. They finished in last place his first season there. And then last season, got benched. They want to pay him or play him anymore. That might be. And think Drew Locke, a throwaway quarterback in that trade for Seattle, helped them beat Philadelphia late last year and helped San Francisco in return. That win, that trade was more of a win for the Niners than it was for either team involved in that trade. That's crazy to think about.
So the Seahawks got 4 picks, I want to say.
I think so. They got Noah Fant. They got Drew Locke.
Yeah.
And someone else in the trade. I forgot who it was.
I'm going to look it up.
But.
So man. They got Drew Locke, Noah Fant, the tight end, and 2 first round draft picks, 2 second round picks, and 1 fifth round pick for 1 Russell Wilson, who clearly you could see that the wheels were coming off in Seattle. All right. What the hell are we talking about here? All right. Getting back to our man, Steph Curry. And the Golden State Warriors, just our original question right off the top, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We get back into Warriors talk. With him down, with yet another ankle injury, as the Moon Boot and company will take a rest, who is it for the Golden State Warriors that steps up now and takes on the brunt or the scoring load? And or is it more of a collective where you're having multiple players now in double digits? My man... Sterling Bennett believes that it's going to be, or it should be, one Jonathan Kuminga, that he's primed now to be that guy that is going to give you the 25 points that are potentially missing, and that he can step into that number one spot. The one thing about Jonathan Kuminga that I've sort of recognized throughout this breakout is that he seems to be more of an opportunistic player. And what I mean by that is that, you know, he likes to rip and run. If there's a rebound, he'll get out and fill a lane, tip dunks. He'll take someone off the bounce if he feels like he's got an advantage. But when they're design plays for him, I don't know if he's as effective. And maybe that goes towards being that number one, because they call a lot of plays for him now where they're just like, okay, you've earned this.
Yeah.
We're essentially just clearing a side for you, and you're going mano a mano. And I don't know if that's the best version of Jonathan Kuminga.
So what you're saying is he'd rather play freely, unstructured, compared to, okay, design play, get in the paint, you know, body someone down, post him up. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, he's still good at it, and he can still recognize when he has an advantage, and he can go right at guys. But I think it's more effective with him when it's within the flow of the offense, where it's not just, okay, it's Jonathan Kuminga. Either double him, or he's going to go right at the rim and get fouled and or score the bucket in the best case scenario for the Warriors.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree that Kuminga doesn't want to be utilized in a structured offense. I mean, he's amazing on back screens for the Golden State Warriors. He's awesome. I feel like he scores on every single one of them. Like in the YouTube chat brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union, George Hart points out, I mean, Kuminga is excellent on back screens for Golden State. But I also think that having Chris Paul now take Stephen Curry's spot, you're going to see that even more. You're going to see no longer is Curry, in this case now Chris Paul, you know, making 15, 20 shots a game. You're going to have him facilitating, letting Kuminga feed more on back screens, giving the ball to Clay, giving the ball to Moses Moody and others. Like this... In the absence of Stephen Curry, yes, I do think Kuminga is the most capable player on this roster to carry the load offensively when it comes to simply points. It's not talking about creating his own shot. I'm talking about, you know, just dominating games. I just think getting points on the board, that to me leans to Kuminga, because what he's able to do in the paint, like we've seen him, he's 21 years old. He's one of the most explosive players in the NBA at his peak, where he's dunking. Kevin Danna, on the call against Toronto, I don't know if you heard it, he goes, "He just murdered Jakob Poeltl, R.I.P." Like, what Kuminga's able to do to guys bigger than him that are in the paint, just other guys cannot do on this offense. Hence why I lean towards Kuminga being that guy in the absence of Curry.
He'll get his opportunity. And again, I think with Steph down, this is the one benefit of having what I think is a good problem, and that is being deep. Now, listen, you can't...
Are you saying strength in numbers?
Well, I didn't want to go there. But you don't want to lose because there's no replacing Steph Curry. I get it. But now that... It's almost sometimes when you have the absence of certain players, you don't want GP2 down, you don't want Chris Paul to go down, you don't want Andrew Wiggins out. But sometimes when those guys were out, when Andrew Wiggins was out for an extended period of time, again, for personal reasons, it almost feels as though there's sort of a weight that's been lifted off the shoulders of Steve Kerr. It's like, okay, my biggest challenge every night is, how am I going to work in 11 dudes? How am I going to make all of these guys? How am I going to make sure that I appease everybody, that they get enough run? When somebody's now out of the lineup, it makes my job a lot easier. And I think with Steph gone, that the Warriors, because of their depth now, can do it in such a variety of ways. If this means now that, obviously, again, it's different positions, but you get an opportunity to see more of Trayce Jackson-Davis, Pajemski maybe gets a little bit more run, Moses Moody now becomes much more prominent. This is an opportunity, I think, for everybody to sort of contribute. And now, because you have the depth, whereas a year ago, if Steph goes down, if Wiggins goes down, if Chris Paul and GP2 go down, it's pretty much... hold your breath, because what the hell are we going to do?
You got DiVincenzo and you got Jordan Poole.
Well, DiVincenzo was the one bright spot. I'm talking about Ty Jerome and the Anthony Lambs and the Jermichael Greens.
Brad Wanamaker's in previous years.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nightmare the last couple of years in terms of the bench.
Yeah.
So because of the depth, and I know it's an issue of trying to play 12 guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult to...
You just can't do it every night.
No, but I think that when you see someone go down with an injury like that of Steph Curry... trying to stay away from strength and numbers, but that's really clearly who they've become because of the depth that they have this year.
For the Warriors, like, just take tonight, for example, against San Antonio. Not a good team. What, they won 13 games all year? Like, they simply stink, and they're not going to have their star. This is a game where Kerr can almost tweak with things, make the adjustments on the fly, and kind of see how a Steph Curry, you know, less, or in the absence of Curry offense, structure works for Golden State. Like, this is arguably the perfect game to not have Steph in as you build towards the future without him for the next week and a half or so. You can try things tonight and probably still win. Like, this is a game where, yes, you have to win. You can't lose against San Antonio, especially tonight with Nwembe on the court, but this is a game where they can go into it with a game plan. If it doesn't work, they can put other guys in, fix rotations how they want to, and actually, like, work with the rotation as the game is progressing, and make those changes where they see fit. Like, could Golden State come out there and just rock San Antonio and beat them by 30? Yeah. They don't have Wemby. Like, they don't have a guy that actually can offset your strengths and can expose your weaknesses like Wembanyama can. Whereas Golden State now has, without Curry, still has 9-10 guys that can actually, you know, get you 5-10 points a night and be impactful. And I wouldn't even be surprised if we do see Kevon Looney in there a little bit, or a Saric. Of, hey, like, with Chris Paul back on the court, do we see a return of Saric back with him? Not as a starter, obviously, but let's kind of get him kind of back up to speed and get him back involved in the offense. Saric can play meaningful minutes for this team. Now, I get you have Trayce Jackson-Davis, who was questionable tonight, mind you, also rolled his ankle against Chicago. What if TJD can't play? Is Saric back out there? Is it Kevon Looney back out there? Like, I do think there is a chance for Golden State to kind of fine-tune, tweak some things that maybe haven't worked in the past week or so, and kind of get back to that, where if Steph was out there, you rocking with the same 9-8 guys doing what you had, and that's worked, mind you, for the past month or so. I do think without Steph, they can actually rekindle some magic with Saric, with Looney again.
I'm like one of those, and I think that one of our earlier callers, Austin, who relishes opportunities like this, with Steph out, it's, well, you don't want to see it. Maybe relish isn't the right word, but there's an opportunity there to look at this through a different lens, and that is, okay, now it's a chance for some players to prove themselves. Yeah. I kind of like once in a while when you get into those road trips and you go back-to-back. Now, they haven't been able to do it of late simply because every game is so paramount now, but you know, when they would rest Draymond Green and Clay and Steph, it was on the back-to-back, just load management, and sit them out of a back-to-back on the road. I sort of enjoy those games because it gets an opportunity for all these young players that you sometimes you're curious about how would they do with more minutes, and just getting this an opportunity to see them thrown into the fire sometimes it's enjoyable. And I think that this is going to be not to that extent, but it's another opportunity to see some young players who have a lot of promise now in a very important part of the season come center stage, and it's sort of sink or swim. And I think because they have so many moving pieces, it's really intriguing for the Golden State Warriors to play without Steph Curry and see if they can stay afloat. And I think the game that'll determine that, again, will coming up on Wednesday when they take on Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. Just getting back to Trayce Jackson-Davis and the Golden State Warriors, you know, part of the reason, like when I was saying Trayce Jackson-Davis needs to play more, I would see it on the text line. I get calls and people would push back. Listen, they're two different players. You need Dario Saric to stretch the floor, which he does. He spaces the floor. I get that because he's a shooter. And by the way, you cannot point at Steve Kerr and saying you did Dario Saric wrong. Like Dario shot his ass out of
he's
that rotation.
Really bad.
He hasn't been able to shoot well. But like there's different ways to carve up that pig. And it doesn't always have to be on the perimeter and shooting and ball movement. That's the way the Warriors have done it, and they move without the ball better than anybody, and it's still the ingredient to their success. But to go pick and roll, which is something that they traditionally don't do, and now they're warming to it with Trayce Jackson-Davis, is also an effective way to score the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And you're beginning to see it now. And now Chris Paul is like, because he was sort of the outlier, right? He comes to the Golden State Warriors, and the big question for him and everybody else is, well, how are you going to fit into this team?
Right.
It's not a half-court walk it up. We want to get out and run. You know, we shoot the three. What the hell is it that you're going to do? You're completely dissimilar to what it is that this team does. It's like the old Sesame Street. Which one of these doesn't fit with the others? Well, it's Chris Paul. And now you're seeing Chris Paul, with the emergence of Trayce Jackson-Davis, get right back to his bread and butter.
Yeah.
And to see Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Like the pick and roll, again, is still the most unstoppable and effective play in basketball. And to have Trayce Jackson-Davis, a young player with good hands, who's good around the rim, like to see more of that is not a bad thing for the Golden State Warriors. We don't always have to shoot it from beyond. You don't always have to space the floor. And you don't always have to address the three-point line. You can get back to basketball the way it was played back in the 1970s from time to time and go pick and roll and still carve people up.
Well, and tonight when there is no Wembanyama, there is no 7-foot monster in the paint. Like, you can penetrate the paint tonight. You're going to have Charles Bassey out there for San Antonio, Dominic Barlow, and Julian, was it Gray and Sochan out there? Like, those are no ones. And I'm not being disrespectful. I can guarantee you ask 99% of the country and NBA fans, name one player on the Spurs, not name Wembanyama. They couldn't do it. I think for Golden State, tonight is a... It's not a you know, prove-it game or whatever, or a statement game, but it is a, hey, let's go out there, do the pick and roll, play our brand of basketball without Stephen Curry, and find out who we are without him. Like, and you can go back early in the year, even in past seasons. It took them a little bit to find out who they were without Steph, but they had Jordan Poole that can play just enough like Steph that there was that semblance of what it kind of used to be when he's on the field. Now it's, you don't have that Jordan Poole that wants to be Steph Curry kind of player. You don't have Steph on the court. You may have to go to pick and roll, which, guess what? Kevon, Trayce Jackson-Davis, if he plays, Kuminga, and others are going to benefit from a player like Chris Paul.
The text line, the Comcast business text line, tonight is the game Trayce Jackson-Davis will go off and dunk, and sky hook all over the Spurs. I have yet to see him shoot a sky hook. Am I missing something here? When the hell has he shot a sky hook? All right, maybe it's in the bag, and we'll see it tonight. Mitch in New Jersey, rest of the callers, hang in there. We got to pay some bills, get to a break. We'll continue with Warriors this week when we return after this.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.